Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. I am your host, Jennifer Hellman, and I want to thank you all very much for listening and supporting the program. I really appreciate that. Tonight we are talking to Cecilia Nimmers. Cecilia has been practicing psychic for over 35 years. In that time, her gifts have opened many doors to many advanced psychic knowledge. Her website is www.ceciliannimmers.com. She will be taking your questions tonight in a few minutes, and now I'd like to welcome Cecilia to air. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
Just fine. Now, you've been doing this a long time. You know, how did it all start? I mean, it sounds like it all started as a kid.
Yeah. It started a long time ago. But, you know, it's like a friend of mine said, it's kind of like when you play the piano. Anybody can play the piano or learn to play, but hardly anybody's a Beethoven. You know? And that's kind of like what psychic ability is. Everybody has the intuitive ability, mostly. And that tells us the difference between right and wrong, and that tells us when we should or shouldn't do something, if we listen to our inner selves. We all have that.
Right.
But developing it is, it's kind of a journey. First, you have to be interested in doing that. And a lot of people, when they see something or feel something different, they get scared. And then they say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. And then they go a different way with their life. And some people say, oh, wow, that's really cool. And then they explore it, and they delve into it, and then they are interested, and suddenly, I don't know, sometimes it just takes on a life of its own.
Sometimes.
Everybody develops in a different way.
Yes, it does. And I have to add real quick, sometimes people get scared, try and close it, but sometimes they're not really able to. It keeps knocking on their brain saying, hello, we're in here. We're not letting you go.
Right. But sometimes
isn't that the way it is for you? Because I've been talking to you. She actually is in Tucson. I've met her face to face. She's just a beautiful person inside and out. We were talking actually yesterday, and you were mentioning that you had it in a child, but it really didn't stick with you till you were about 16, living in Bermuda, of all places.
Right, and being surrounded by water, it just opened. It, I don't even know how to describe it.
It was really suddenly cool.
I was seeing visions, and it was like the scenery would open up and I would see something happen. And it would always happen within 6 hours of when I saw it. But I didn't know what was happening, so I would run to the person that it involved and tell them, hey, this is what's going to happen, or this is what I saw. And, of course, I quickly got the reputation of someone that they want to avoid. So I learned through the years when and when not to run up to someone and just, you know, blurt it out.
Right.
Because people really don't want to know.
Well,
unless they ask.
Well, isn't it also that, you know, it might be they need to learn a certain lesson. If you tell them ahead of time, they're not going to learn the lesson, possibly?
Well, some of us think like that. But the person that we're telling to, we have to be careful with their feelings.
Oh, most definitely. I've learned that lesson myself.
Yeah. Because a lot of people, you know, they Some people want to know ahead of time, and some people don't. It's like if you're asked, okay, what if you had cancer? Do you want to be told right away, or do you want, you know, I don't know. It's just a personal thing, you know. Some people want the doctor to say, okay, I've got so many months left. Or some people say, no, that's not true. I'm not going to accept that.
Right.
And then they live for another 5 or 10 years beyond what the doctor originally figured that they should. So it's a personal thing. And psychic ability is too. It's like people say, oh, I want to be psychic. Okay. So what I tell people is the more you use it, the stronger it gets. You first trust yourself. You listen to yourself. And if you can listen to yourself and trust that that's the right information and go with it, every time you go with it, then it makes something inside of you a little stronger.
Well, let me ask you a question on that real quick. Someone that I know was given a message very clearly, repeatedly. She did all that she was guided to do, and yet what they said was going to happen didn't happen. And that really discouraged her from trusting herself and her guidance. So what was that all about?
I have a friend that this happens to fairly often. And sometimes what we want, we throw into what we feel should happen. We feel like, okay, I should get this job, for instance.
Right.
Okay? It'll pay me better money. The universe has led me to this point. The universe has told me that I am going to get this job. I am counting on getting this job because the universe said it was going to happen, and it's a lot of money, and the universe knows that I need that money. Okay? And for some reason, the job doesn't come through. It was given to someone else.
Right.
Okay. Then she feels like, okay, I'm cheated. I got left out, you know, stuff like this. But actually, really, what was the universe saying, really? Was the universe really saying, oh, gee, you know, you want this money so much that I'm just going to give it to you? Or is the universe saying, okay, maybe there's another opportunity that can serve your higher good better.
Right.
Because the universe usually watches out for your higher good. The universe doesn't use money. So it doesn't know, you know, I mean, it hears that we need money. But it knows that what we need is what's best for our higher good. Maybe this job wasn't the best for her. Maybe there's another one coming that is. It may not pay as much. This may not be the job that she needs or that she wants, but it is the job that she needs. Only because of possibly someone that she'll meet through this job. Possibly there'll be an opportunity to help someone else and in turn be helping herself. And maybe this is just a stepping stone for something that's better. You know, we don't always understand or know what the universe has in mind. But sometimes when we ask for something, it's really not for our higher good.
Very true. Very true. So when this all started when you were 16 and you were running around telling all these people and scaring quite a few of them, especially since they happened 6 hours later, which is really a quick turnaround, for a vision to manifestation, that's really quite quick. How long did that develop? I know you moved back to the States.
A couple of years later, yeah.
Yeah, and you actually read poems.
Yeah.
And you're very good at it, and I'm noticing my hands a lot more since I've met you, and you're very good at it. Now, can you talk about that experience about learning about reading poems?
Well, when I was, when my abilities were opening up to me, it just came in a mad rush. All these things were happening at once. I was hearing people talk to me. I was seeing visions. I was seeing, I don't know if you call them visions. Actually, it was premonitions, okay?
Right.
Let's just call it that. Let's call them premonitions. I could, you know, I babysat every night of the week for about 3 years in Bermuda for NASA people. And every house in Bermuda is haunted. And I was aware of the presences in these houses. I mean, it was just a phenomenal experience scared me out of my mind almost stuff, because, you know, there were ghosts trying to get my attention, and there was, I don't know, just so much activity at once, and nobody explained it to me. I thought I was losing my mind. I honestly did. And when I started telling people what was going to happen, and then it did, then they backed off and they started calling me weirdo, and you know, I became a leper, you know. So I learned real quickly, probably this isn't the best way to handle this, but I don't know what the heck's happening to me.
Right.
And I thought, I really did think I was losing my mind. And so anyway, when we moved to the United States, things calmed down a little bit, because, you know, when you're around water, you just go crazy around water. Your psychic ability just goes nuts. But when I came back to the States, because I was second of 10 kids, I was let go out of the house. And then there was this great big displacement theory, I call it, where you leave and the hole covers over, so there's no way to go back. So there you are out in the cold. And I ended up in Nebraska with my uncle, who's a priest, of all things, and lived in a rectory. And I ended up in Chattern, Nebraska. And all my life I was told that I wasn't quite smart enough to ever go to college. And about a week after I landed there, I ended up in college. Well, I befriended this girl because her name was just next to mine in alphabetical order.
Right.
And she introduced me to a lady there in town who read palms. And my spidey senses started tingling, and I said, cool, let's go. And we went over there, and she looked at me, and she says, okay, let me see your hands. And I showed her my hands, and she says, oh, my God, I've been waiting for you for a long time. And she proceeded to tell me everything that she knew about reading palms. And one time I was reading with her, because these college kids, they would always come in, you know, to have their palms read, because they're curious, you know, am I going to marry this guy, blah, 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 mostly relationships. And I looked at the hand, and because I have no filters, I think, I says, oh, you're not only going to marry him, but you're going to divorce him. And my mentor looked at me, and she says, we don't say those things. Those aren't things that we tell people. And I say, oh. And then after this girl's left, she says, now, how did you figure that out? What was it in the hand that showed you that? And I says, well, there's a fork at the end of her marriage line. And that generally means a split.
Right.
But she was of the thinking that you don't tell anything that's not good, anything that's not happy and good, to people. But it's been my experience that when people really, really, really want a reading, and they really come to you in earnest, they not only want to know what's good going to happen, but they want to know the pitfalls too.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if I took this job instead of that job, you know?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Now,
and your hand changes. It definitely changes.
Yeah, mine's going blank.
With every decision that you make, your hand tells about it first.
And as you evolve and you grow, lines, I would say, you've got a lot of, like, trust issues, or you're closed down or something, they will fade away as you get over those aspects that you are here to overcome, correct?
Right. And there are lines that show that you've been working on your self-esteem, and there are lines that show that that you have been working very hard on a project and it will become successful.
Right.
And there are lines in your hand. Your hand does not lie. Your hand tells all.
Well, you also do things that are, you've got the whole gamut of gifts, the clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairascendant, all-knowing gifts as well, and the combination plus reading the hands, you really can give a complete reading.
A complete reading, yes, but I don't know about that all-knowing thing.
Well,
if I knew so much, I wouldn't get myself into the problems I get myself into.
But
they say we can't read for ourselves, which is sad.
when I meant all-knowing, it's just all of a sudden you know for no reason, you can't really explain, you just know something. That's what I meant by all-knowing. Let me clarify that. I think it's called claircognizance. Anyway, so when you started this, did the person who had learned how to read poems also explain how to get in touch with your guides to process the information that you're getting from your guides? Because you said you had lots of talking in your head. You had a lot of voices, a lot of things just like at you from all directions. Now, how did you kind of get control of all of that?
I'm not sure that you ever get control of it, but what you do is you take control of yourself and you tell your spirit guides or you tell your group or wherever you're getting your information that, you know, sometimes you need to sleep, because they will talk to you all the time because they don't know night and day. They don't know that, you know, your body wears down. They don't think about that. So you take control and you tell them, okay, it's nighttime here. I need to sleep. If you want to talk to me, give me, you know, when it's daylight.
Right.
You know, like that.
Or else what I always say is, you got a message when I'm sleeping, give it to me in a dream, but make sure I remember it when I wake up. Otherwise, I'm sleeping.
Right. I don't want them to bother me, so I don't dream very much.
Oh, I dream all the time. I like getting my messages that way.
they always give me my messages when I'm waking up. And they're very, very succinct about it. If I ask a question before I go to sleep, I usually get the answer as I'm waking up.
Right.
And in the shower, oh, my gosh. It used to be a party in the shower.
Well, it's water. That's why.
Yeah.
It's a free-for-all for them.
Yeah.
When you say you take control, and did you tell all the groups of voices, I'm sorry, you know, pick one person and that one person's talking to me and that's it?
Yeah, you have to. You have to, because if they all talk to you at once, it's garbled and you don't understand. And you're hearing one word here and one word here in different voices. But what I did was I said, okay, guys, this is confusing. One person. Can talk to me, and all the rest of you guys talk to that person.
Uh-huh.
So you can take turns, I don't care, but only give me one person at a time, because it's too confusing and I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Okay, now let me ask you, the information that you're getting, I mean, when do you know it's from a divine source and not your ego? I get that question from a lot of my clients. A lot of the people that I'm mentoring to help them build their, how would you tell them when it is your ego and when it is from source? How can they tell the difference?
Well, if I were trying to explain this to someone else, let's see, I'm constantly praying that, you know, if you guys are talking to me, don't let me interrupt. Don't let me get involved. Don't let the me get involved, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If they give me information, it's usually not something that I've asked for.
Right. Now,
and if I'm doing a reading for someone,
right,
there's no me involved. It's usually just, you know, I usually just try to connect with the source, and I keep my opinions to myself. At least I try to.
Now, I mean,
What I do is there's a lot of times when I don't understand what's coming through and I just have to say something that's coming through. And 9 times out of 10, I don't understand what it's about, but the person I'm reading for does.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to be really careful not to try to filter what's coming through, because when I do that, it gets me into trouble.
Right.
Because then all of a sudden the reading's, taking a different spin.
It definitely does. And I do just want to let people know that you are taking calls. So if you do want to call for readings, you're welcome to call in. The number is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, you can call 888-815-9756 if you're interested in getting a reading from this wonderful person. Now, you've been doing this a long time. Have you ever been stumped by what they're showing you?
Stumped by what they're showing me?
Yeah. Like you don't know how. They're showing you something and you have to tell it to someone and you can't figure out how to kind of decipher what they're showing you and how to present it to your client.
You know, that used to happen early on. But the more I listen, the more I'm used to what they're saying. And like I said, it doesn't have to make sense to me.
Right.
And if I don't, like I said, if I don't try to get involved with that, then I don't have a problem with that.
Excellent.
Because...
Oh, we have a phone call. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
I need to turn my radio off. Hold on.
This is Chris.
Yes,
I can tell by your voice.
Yeah. Okay.
Is this Chris?
Yes, it is. This is Chris. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Cecilia. My question is, when Jen asked the question about ego and what do you do to clarify that it's not ego, that you're not making that answer up?
Well?
Like, is it a phantom?
Is there a feeling you get that, you know, you just know it's coming from your heart, therefore it's coming from spirit? Or have you just cleared, I mean, granted, I know you had to clear the ego out to do this work. They make sure that really...
Then this isn't when you're reading for a person. This is when you are for your own personal intuition.
For my own personal thing?
Yes.
Well, I've got a heck of an ego. But I don't understand the question.
She wants to know how she can figure out that she's really getting something from the divine, and it's not something she's just making up.
Okay, what do you do? What questions are you asking?
When I hear messages, when I hear voices in my head, which I can't believe I'm saying that on public radio, and then I start talking to myself, I literally sometimes wonder if I make these up.
Okay. Is it something that you have knowledge of, or is it something that you're discussing with yourself in your head?
Well, a lot of times it's stuff that I have knowledge of, and it'll just come out left field.
Is it correct information?
Sometimes it really is. Yes, sometimes it really, really is.
Okay. Do you feel like when you're having these discussions, you feel different than if you're just trying to figure something out?
Yeah, I usually go into a whole...
different feeling?
Pause.
It feels like your head's connected to rods or something?
No, it's kind of like there's a remote control, and I'm just playing. I'm in play. You know, I'm going through the day... and then all of a sudden it's pause.
Okay. Sometimes, you know, when you're having these things in your head, it's just stuff that's going on in your head. But sometimes when you're trying to, you got to give me a more concrete example so that we can tell other people, okay? This
okay,
is about teaching.
Okay, a concrete example is, I do have a really good intuition of whether I want to be around a person or not. I mean, that's pretty generic. You know, anybody will get hair on their back standing up. But I can meet somebody that is really has a nice public image, a nice, you know, credible looking, whatever. You know, they everybody likes this person.
Yeah.
And I'm a people lover in the first place. But I can get it where it's like I can see through the onions, through the layers of the onions, and know that person's true intent.
Well, that's your intuition. And that's coming from another source.
Okay. Well, I have actually shared it with people.
Not to avoid, right?
Right. I've actually shared it with close friends, going, look, this is what I'm feeling. I don't really know this person except what I've heard, but what I'm hearing is not what those people are saying. And I'm telling you, you're supposed to run that way and not walk with this, you know, not be with, be involved with this person.
So what happens when you have that feeling, and do you walk away or do you hang?
I have my throat, like, my throat will choke me.
It shuts down.
So then,
sorry,
then you
what?
Walk away, right?
Oh yeah, I will not do anything. And then this one time, it was actually with Gelsey, Jen. It was a gentleman, and I mean this guy. By all means, I mean anybody would have been just really so happy that this man called, and never met this man, did not know this man. It was basically a phone call, and I'm telling her, Gail, you have to go, you have to run, you have to, you know, do not. I felt so horrible giving that message, and it was even late at night, and I called the person in Florida on Eastern Standard Time. I said, do you know this person? And then we dropped the names, and then she called the person in Canada, and so we had a four-way going, and the person in Canada who knew that man personally was able to give Gail validation. And
okay.
But it was so urgent. It was an absolute emergency. It was a 911 in my head.
This was a phone call, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't you have just hung up?
No. Gail called me. I called Julie. Julie called Wendy. It was a four-way.
Oh. Right.
Have you ever had something, Chris, where you felt you weren't sure because, and you really did think you were just making it up?
Me?
Yes. Yes.
And I usually will reject it and to find out I made a mistake.
That you should have listened?
Yeah.
Well, that was what was being channeled to you, either through your spirit guide or an angel or something.
Right.
They usually try to veer you away from trouble, you know, and people who are trouble.
Yeah, yeah. And that's ego that stops us from trusting ourselves?
No, that's not ego at all.
Mm.
Ego would override all that, and it would say, you know what, we can handle this. That would be ego.
Okay. Okay.
You know.
And then you were talking about the palm earlier?
Yeah.
If you have the M-A on your palm, what does that mean?
I have no clue what you're talking about, because, again, each line has a different meaning.
Okay, I was told that if you have the M-A on your palm, and I was told this by a friend, it says that you're an ascending master.
An ascending master.
You have what?
If you hold your hand a certain way, many people have an M in the middle of their hand, and sometimes it looks also like there's an A. And she's been told that they are ascending masters if they have it in the palm.
Well, most of us here are ascended masters, and we're here for a reason. We're here at this time to help the Earth evolve, to help people on the planet evolve, to help them ascend into a higher level of consciousness. So most of us here, we just don't know it.
Okay. Now, Jennifer just recently did a therapy with me, a very gentle past life regression. It was my first time ever.
Uh-huh.
Because I was a doubting Thomas. I always believed that people who said they were this and this and this basically were using memory cells from 5 and under or 7 and under that they processed in their brain. And they had identified with the character in the book or the character in the movie. So she takes, this was just last week, and since then I've had, like you said, in the shower, I've had experiences there, but can you or do you get a feeling on the name Chidi?
You're a what?
Chidi.
Chidi, she's wondering if that's the name of a person she connected with in her past life. If that's a correct name.
Okay, I don't know.
All right, that's a good answer.
I really don't know because it's jumbled, okay?
Uh-huh.
There's something that you're not telling me, that there's a link there that we're missing. How many lives ago was this?
200 years ago.
It was in the 1700s.
Okay. And that was the name that you remember?
It was something that came to me, and I, again, there was that pause. And then also,
do you remember being in a ballroom?
Osazi? Osazi. O-S. Osazi, Chidi, and Osazi.
Okay. Where were you?
In Boston, and then also the last name, Penny.
The last name is what?
Penny, like in Penny.
Oh, Penny?
Penny.
Like in J.C.?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. And were you male or female?
Female. Through this life.
And what did you do in this lifetime?
Well, I was a young girl, a minor about the age of, well, I have different ages. I have 8, and then I have 12, and I have 18, but I was a slave.
Okay.
You worked in the home.
You were a house slave.
Yes. From what we were getting from her.
Were you happy in this home, or were you upset in this home?
She wears a mask. She wore a mask, happy on the outside, miserable on the inside.
Okay. And when you reincarnated into this life as a child, what sort of a child were you?
I was very humble, very obedient, very quiet. And this is what's really weird. In 1972, I was abducted.
Abducted.
I was abducted.
By a man.
And so, you know, when I, and then Jen put the connection because the date that I resonated with was 1772. And that was when that girl was abducted or kidnapped by a traitor.
Okay, and then the same thing happened in this life.
Yeah.
Right, except she wasn't a slave per se.
Right.
Okay, so that was 72. Since 1972, what have you done? What have you done to make yourself stronger, to empower yourself, so that this doesn't happen again?
Oh, I released it all at the altar, and I did get, you know, I did get therapy, and I actually in therapy back in the 90s, I went back to the mountain. The base of the mountain. I even climbed that mountain and pretty much met that 12-year-old all over again, me, and embraced her. And I mean, by this time I'm a mother, you know, I'm all grown up. But I climbed that mountain in 94.
And what did you?
Or 96. It was 96. 94, 96, I'm not sure on the date. So, but the thing is, I went back in time to an age where this incident happened, and it was 200 years apart, and it was almost the same age. And then when I was in that regression, I came out of the regression on my own with the aha that the reason why I went to this river in 1972 was because that little girl back in 1772 was by the river.
She's fascinated by the river.
And then by the river you got abducted by someone again?
Uh-huh.
Past lives are definitely collapsing. I'm seeing it more and more in so many people that
it's like they didn't finish in that lifetime, so they have to
right,
go to that point and then come from there.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, to turn it into a positive instead of being so angry, because
right.
processing all that, I was feeling her rage, which,
right.
trust me, brought back my messed up life in this life that I didn't understand at the age of 13, 14, 15, 16. My anger was crossed over with this young girl in 1772, and I didn't know that. And I was like, so it's a whole new angle to the therapy, of course. And, but I, instead of experiencing it as a negative, I believe there is a lesson, and Jen, of course, shares that there's a healing.
Well, you know, we all carry cell memory in ourselves. We all have memories of the various lifetimes that we've lived. And through hypnotherapy, you can release all this negative cell memory so that it no longer follows you, you know, in a form of, a fear or an unfinished business or lack of closure, or whatever you want to call it. But it sounds like through the therapy and through all this stuff, you've pretty much released a lot of that, right?
Well, I just was able to make sense out of a lot of it. Another thing that came forward from Jen's therapy is my brother died and in this lifetime, and I have always petitioned to see him. I want to physically see him, even though I feel him. I feel him around me. I can even sometimes pick up intuitive hits from him, what he wants me to know. And the little girl, Chidi, was abducted with her brother, Osazi. And they were separated, and she wanted to see her brother. And Jen connected that I wanted to see my brother. That's why there's that strong connection with that past.
That happens a lot, you know, that people who are our family in other lives, they come into this one.
Ooh, and here's another one, Jen. Was Osazi the same soul as my brother Rodney?
Cecilia, what do you think?
Well, it's possible, but did Osazi die young?
I never saw my brother after they separated us on the trade ship.
It's possible.
Yeah, I think it is.
So in 1972, when I was 12, which I believe Chidi was younger than that, but maybe she was that age, I don't know. But when I went to the river, I was sharing with Jen that I went to the river like I was not me, like I was possessed. I did so many things that I do not do. I didn't ask. I didn't share that I was going over there. I just, like a light switch, got up, because I was at a park at a baseball game, got up, walked to the river.
Okay, it sounds like you're having a past life bleed through, but it's important that you live this lifetime, okay? Because the lessons and everything that you're working out needs to be worked out in this lifetime.
Right.
So is there some way that you can detach yourself from that past life and just live this life? Because I'll tell you, living one life at a time is enough.
Right.
The reason why we aren't supposed to remember past lives is because it gets very confusing and it starts to blur who we are. So it's important that you live this life and you learn the lessons in this lifetime. And part of the lessons in this lifetime is to finish and put closure on that one and say, okay, that was then, this is now, and I need to go on because there are things I need to be prepared to do in this lifetime. And you have to stay in the moment. It's important for you to be in the now.
I think I know what I need to do or what will satisfy this memory. When the full moon comes, which is around the 19th of May, I will release her with blessings.
Good. That would be best.
And the brother also, and then also my brother that died in this life.
Chris, a suggestion? Write her a letter.
Write a letter?
Write a letter to this little girl.
Okay.
And then on the 19th, burn it.
All right. I will do that.
And that's releasing her energy back to the ethers and on to better things, and you can move forward then. And you've learned just write in the letter everything you've learned about yourself through the experience of connecting with her and give her thanks for the presence, but she needs to go bye-bye.
She needs to, yes, she needs to go back to the time where she's from. And you need to live in the now.
Yeah. It's all part of the cleansing on the new moon.
Right.
Yes, it is.
So, I believe it is. It is brought up to close it, but to close it appropriately with the right energy.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think that we should find out if there's another caller out there.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Well, believe it or not, we only have 5 minutes left.
Five? Okay.
So, I know you have a website. Why don't you talk a little bit about your website and a little bit of the services that you offer people?
I do have a website, and it was developed and designed by my friend Connie Dixon, who lives in Denver, and she's very good at this. And my website is www.ceciliannemers.com, and that is spelled C-E-C-I-L-I-A-N, as in Nevada, E-M-M, as in Mary Mary, E-R-S. .com. And on the website, you know, it just basically gives a rundown of what I am or who I am and what I've done. And I'm thinking we'll just try to run specials and we'll run ideas and stuff on it every once in a while. And things are still developing.
You know, so people need to go there and see what your specials are and see what's going on. Like I said, if you're ever in Tucson, she does wonderful reading of poems, and she is very good as a psychic as well. I don't want to underestimate her value as a psychic as well, but I learned a lot talking to this woman about my hands and things about me. So it is well worth having a reading from her. You'll learn something, most definitely. And I do want to thank you, Cecile, for being on, air. And again, you can check out our website for more information. Next time, we are going to have a pre-recorded show because she's back in New York. Linda Lanier we're going to be talking about emotional intelligence and how it can help ourselves and our children be a lot better, just more together in all aspects through some very simple techniques that they're actually trying to get into schools. And I'm looking forward to this interview with her. I want to mention a couple more items. First of all, there is a situation where AIR's schedule is not being seen correctly if you're using Explorer on BBS radio site. We're working to correct it. If you need to, when you want to see the schedule, please go to my website, abstractillusions.net. If you go to the radio section and then down to the schedule, all the information is there. I also want to mention that Jack Brockes is doing a wonderful promotion on his site. So if you can check him out, he's having some wonderful giveaways. Please try and check it out before May 18th for those gifts. Like I said, I will be back in a couple of weeks live with a sound healer. But until then, please check in next week for the pre-recorded show. And with each breath of air, we do hope you gain new insights and inspirations. I truly want to thank you for listening. I wish you many blessings and a good night.
And thank you, Jennifer, for having me.
Oh, you're most welcome.
And You are a reader in your own right, and I hope people realize that.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And I'm always available if somebody needs a reading at angelsintuition.com. So we wish all a very, very good night.